That's for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist, back from a hiatus. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. You can also follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, Grandstand Sports Network. I am here with my co-host, as always, Benjamin Solak. Been holding it down for me from Bleeding Green Nation, NDT Scouting, all the great sites out there. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
All the better for hearing your dulcet tones once again, my friend. But in all seriousness, man, so glad to have you back. Glad that the family is safe. Everything's good with the house. You feeling good?
Yeah, everything was fantastic. Well, you know, for the state, it was devastating coming up the middle. So I feel for everybody in that got affected by it. Luckily for me, it had weakened by the time that it got to us. No major damage to the house or anything like that. No trees flying through the window. Baby was nice and safe. So it was all good, my man. So while I was gone, man, I want you to get me updated on what happened over the weekend. We definitely didn't lose our number one cornerback to an injury, right? I mean, that would be like the worst thing that could happen while I was gone.
No, absolutely. After we traded a solid amount of capital for Ronald Darby, who was to be the solution to all of our defensive woes, he did not dislocate his ankle in the second quarter of the Washington game, putting him out for potentially 4 to 6 weeks.
Ben, that's really specific. Are you sure that that did not happen?
Positive. Here's the thing. It could have been so much worse, and it sounds like, you know, a little bit like, you know, crass to say it, but it looked awful on the broadcast. And then, are you familiar with David Chow, the Pro Football Doc on Twitter, the guy who diagnoses people? Yeah, awesome follow. He was saying, you know, okay, it's one of two things. It's either dislocated with no ligament damage, and he might be able to come back. RG3 did it in 6 weeks. Or it is ligament damage, and he's not coming back this year. And we sat through all of Sunday into Monday morning, got the MRI, and there's no ligament damage that we know of. And so it's a 4 to 6 week expected, which, you know, thank God, that's not as bad as it could have been.
Which is fantastic. And look, coming up here in a little bit, we are going to be talking with Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs. He's going to give us a preview of the Eagles against the Chiefs. So before we kick it over to that interview, Ben, I wanted to ask you another thing. We definitely didn't have a center or long snapper that was traded that ended up getting his life saved by a physical. Is that correct? Because that would also be pretty terrible in the grand scheme of things.
And that's even more absurd of a possibility as our first corner being injured in the opening game. Yeah, I mean, obviously, big thoughts and prayers go out to John Dorenbos, the entire Dorenbos family. I mean, what just incredible and perplexing and God willing circumstances of a trade of a guy, of a long snapper. How often do long snappers get traded? For them to him go through the physical he did with the Saints, and for, you know, his issues with his heart to be discovered. You know, he went through surgery earlier this week. I haven't heard anything about the results since then, but hopefully no news is good news in that regard. And, you know, honestly, like, and I kind of tweeted this when we kind of heard the news. We gave the seventh back to bring Dorenbos back because obviously the injury kind of vacates the trade. But you know what? Cool. Like, I would send more than a seventh to bring John Dorenbos back to Philadelphia when his family's going through this. I mean, he's a member of the Philadelphia Eagles family, and he should be a member of the Philadelphia Eagles when he's going through this because he's been a member of the Philadelphia Eagles for all of his career. So thoughts and prayers out to John and his family.
Yeah, that's amazing what happened. So, okay, last question, or at least one of the last questions, Ben. We definitely didn't have, while I was gone, our starting kicker go down in the first game and then end up signing a rookie kicker that wasn't even kicker one in the draft. Tell me that happened or didn't happen. Please tell me that didn't happen.
Listen, Michael, this one I cannot abide you. For in every draft that I do in fantasy, I always have to make a couple of Eagle homer picks, right? And what's the one of the most least damaging positions at which you can make an Eagle homer pick? Obviously, it's kicker, right? Caleb Sturgis is very good. He's not a prized commodity like Tucker Gostkowski or whoever is drafting kickers early for some reason. So I always get Sturgis. In like four leagues this year, I drafted Sturgis in every single one. And obviously, his hip flexor issue is more important than my fantasy football issue, but I'm a little bit miffed that I'm spending my week one waiver priority and auction dollars on kickers. Why? Why me?
That's amazing. So yeah, we get Jake Elliott to replace Caleb Sturgis, who hurt his, what was it, his thigh, his quad?
I think it was hip flexor, hip strain, something like that. I don't know. It's a weird kicker muscle. They don't have the same muscles as regular humans, all right? So
that's a fact. Okay, last thing. Can you tell me who won the Scouting Academy Prove It competition? Because I was a finalist for that.
Wow. Mike's going to make me say it. That's what it is. It's like, oh, this is you know, fake humility here. No. In all seriousness, a big congratulations. Got to go out to Michael Kist. You guys got to understand, I mean, these are scouting reports that are being reviewed and analyzed by ex-NFL GMs and ex-NFL scouts and directors of personnel departments, guys who know exactly what they're talking about, and beyond that, know how it should be produced and the language that need be used and understanding all of the minutiae that NFL teams do. Mike was determined the best one writing those reports. And so a big shout out goes to Mike, and he earned his prize with due worth. Thank goodness we just, this is, there's no more, there's going to be no more pods where you tell me you won something else, right? No more. This is the last one, yeah?
Look, it's been a crazy month, so you never know what I have up my sleeve. But yeah, man, I'm extremely humbled when Dan gave me the call and let me know that I won. I got goosebumps. It was an amazing experience. So humbled by everything. Couldn't thank the Scouting Academy enough for the opportunity and look forward to working the next semester on all the different positions that I didn't get to on the first one. So super excited for that. And congratulations to all the great people that also participated, especially the guys that were in my last Scouting Academy semester, Bryce Rossler, Zach Trap, all those guys. So shout out to them. And what we're going to do right now is, now that we have celebrated my victory a little bit, we are going to kick it over to Ryan, our interview with Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs, and we're going to be previewing this Chiefs-Eagles matchup. So we'll be back right after this.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
And here we are with Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs, part of the Locked On Network. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I am hanging in on a stormy night here in Colorado.
Very nice. Let the people know where they can find all your work and where they can find you on social media, all that good stuff, brother.
You know, the easiest way is I'm at Ryan Tracy, no E in that, NFL on Twitter. It's got all of our links, both to the show. I write for Chiefs Digest, and my co-host writes for Arrowhead Addict on the FanSided Network, and we've got all your Chiefs information for you there.
That's awesome. Look, as we know, the Chiefs and the Eagles square off this week, and we're going to get right into the content and the meat and potatoes of this show and talk real quick. I know it's probably a sore spot, but Eric Berry goes down last week, and you're going to have to replace those snaps. I don't know if you can replace that talent, but as far as snaps go and a role goes, I believe I was listening to you guys the other day, and you were talking about Eric Murray and Daniel Sorensen replacing some of those Berry snaps. Now, which role does either one of those guys play in that defense? How does it affect possibly the way you line up that secondary against the Eagles? And what do you believe the maybe the drop off or the weak link then becomes in that secondary that the Eagles might be able to attack?
Well, I completely agree with you. There's no way to replace Eric Berry, but what these two kids are going to do. And for those of you that follow the draft, Eric Murray was a slot corner at Minnesota. A lot of man cover skills. He has shifted to safety for the last season and has really been Eric Berry's understudy, spending a lot of time with Berry, working film in the offseason, really in preparation to be in this role. And in the Bob Sutton defense, all the safeties are treated as equals. There isn't a box safety and a free safety. These guys interchange depending on matchup all the time. Like, for instance, week one, you saw Eric Berry in the box, man up on Gronkowski. In the last Pittsburgh game in the playoffs last season, he was playing deep. All of them can do all of it. And what you'll see is that Murray's a little bit more on a slot receiver type. He can come down into the box that way. Whereas Sorensen's really better equipped to handle tight ends. He'll be the nickel linebacker next to Derek Johnson when they go big nickel. And that's something that they use quite a bit. You'll see three safeties on the field very, very often. And really, it's about getting those two guys up to speed, knowing that they don't have Eric Berry to kind of direct them and set them up and get them aligned right. that'll be the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I was watching them against I was just doing Trevor Siemian's scouting report and watching them from the first game against him to the second game against him. And Barry played a much different role in the second game than he did in the first one. He played some cover two. He rolled up into the box. He was, you know, buzzing out to the flat area and whatnot. So they did a lot of different things with him. So it's going to be definitely hard to replace. Ben, I'll kick it to you for the next question. We'll take some turns here. We'll play it nice and simple.
Oh, man, that's nothing like us. The listeners will have no idea.
Don't be nice on my
account. All right, so then here's my question for you, Ryan. Checking out that tape, I see what you were saying, moving the safeties around. You had, Sorensen playing single high one snap and the downs the linebacker the next snap. A lot of defensive versatility there. However, you do have Peters regularly kind of, you know, staying on one side, maybe moving with a man in motion. And then on the other side, you had Terrence Mitchell, and he seemed to struggle a lot against New England. And so talk to me just a little bit about, you know, how you guys are going to address Terrence Mitchell going forward, because it seemed like leaving him on an island was an area that Brady and the New England Patriots offense regularly attacked.
Yeah, and it's going to be up for the grabs again against the Eagles. The team doesn't want to change their strategy. They have Philip Gaines, who is best suited inside at the nickel position. He did get picked on a little bit early as well, but they definitely have the mentality that it is bend, don't break. And allowing some passes to be caught in front of you is much, much better in their eyes than overly aggressive playing and letting something get behind you. And that's the problem with Terrence Mitchell. And I've been pretty outspoken amongst my followers that Terrence Mitchell is a good corner. I don't know that he's a solid number two, and that's the problem, is we have three guys definitely missing Steven Nelson, who is probably the best corner on this roster outside of Marcus Peters. So his return won't be for a few weeks, but that will really change the complexity of this secondary. In the meantime, you have Mitchell that's got recovery speed, so he lets some guys get past him knowing that he has that ability. He's aggressive in the press. He's very aggressive at the catch point and has to bail himself out of some plays fairly often. You know, I think the biggest mismatch is probably beyond Jeffrey, because he doesn't have that outstanding leaping ability to go against somebody with that kind of height advantage. But otherwise, you're going to see him press. You're going to see him take some chances and definitely going to see him make some plays as well.
Okay, so we were talking on Locked On Chiefs since we answered some questions for you on there. Make sure you go check out Locked On Chiefs to hear more about this game, because we did some extra work with that. We were talking about possibly Justin Houston. How terrorizing can he be, especially if Carson Wentz, and me and Ben talk about this all the time ad nauseum. Carson Wentz threw 607 passes last year. This year, he's already on pace to throw 624, which is way over what we want. If he has to throw 40 times again, how terrorizing can Justin Houston and the rest of that defensive line be to that Eagles offensive line in Carson?
Here's what's scary about Justin Houston. He's just getting warmed up. He hasn't been healthy in over two seasons, and he is very adamant all preseason that he is feeling healthy again, and he is getting back to how he feels he can return to that form when he had 22 sacks in the season. That's really his goal. That record is not something that he's forgotten about, and he intends to go after it. And what the game plan against the Patriots kind of set everybody up for a letdown was that he was in coverage quite a bit. That was their game plan against Tom Brady. I'm not so sure that they're going to keep that up against Wentz, so I expect him to be coming more. And really, it's going to be a question of how much can the right tackle withstand, because Houston is just going to wear on him over and over and over. Might not pay off in the first quarter, but by the third quarter, you're going to start seeing him get home. The number of hits on Wentz is really probably the thing that the tally sheet is really looking towards when you're in the Chiefs locker room. And I think that's something that Houston definitely is looking for, a multi-sack game, and I think he's fairly confident.
Yeah, look, Ryan Kerrigan pretty much destroyed Lane Johnson on a number of reps last week, and then you just upped the ante with Justin Houston, who was actually, when we were talking about projections as far as, you know, defensive player of the year, he was one guy that kind of creeped in the back of my head as somebody that could just have a crazy good year. So he is definitely not forgotten in my mind, even though he's been injured lately. Ben, what do you have for our friend Ryan for the next question?
Yeah, I'm going to flip it to the offense, Ryan. I'll put it to you this way. Obviously, everybody expected Alex Smith to come out with 368 yards and four touchdowns and a massive 75-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill. Of course, we were expecting that from Alex Smith. That was completely regular. I guess my question for you is, this Andy Reid offense, I mean, obviously, as a Philadelphia fan, I've seen Andy Reid's looks before, but this triple option stuff, all these motions, and Alex Smith stretching the field. I don't want to say where did this come from, but this new look Chiefs offense, I mean, I'm sure you've been seeing some hints of it over the past couple of years. You've been kind of seeing this develop in training camp and during the preseason. Walk our listeners through a little bit more what this Chiefs offense does that's so threatening to defenses.
Well, you know, if I'm being brutally honest, we haven't seen it over the last few years. We've seen it only with the emergence in the last half of 2016 with Tariq Hill. And that's really what it is. And what they do is his natural talent and speed is what sets Alex Smith up to be able to take more chances. Smith is risk averse at his heart and soul. Separation is something he wants to see. He doesn't like to throw guys open. He doesn't like to take chances, but with Tariq Hill, he doesn't have to very often. And that's really what's opened him up. And the secondary factor, and I believe this, though no one in the Chiefs organization will ever tell you it, having Pat Mahomes in the background, pushing for, you know, a lot of fans want playing time now, which I think is a little bit crazy, but it gives him the impetus to take a bit more risk, put himself out there. You know, there are people who thought he couldn't throw 30 yards down the field last season, and he's obviously willing to take more chances to prove people wrong.
So let me ask you this then, Ryan, as a follow-up. With all this craziness that we've got going on in this offense, when do we start seeing the two quarterback sets, right? I mean, Mahomes can run it and he can throw it. When do we see the double reverse wide receiver screen where Mahomes gets in, launches it down the field, man? When's it coming out?
Alex Smith can line up as a wideout. I'm just going to tell you that.
I'm right terrified. Now. It better not be this week. Hold it in the holster at least till week three.
A sneak peek. That's a great point though that you made with the, you know, Mahomes kind of pushing Smith, because he's been through this before. This whole song and dance with bringing in a young quarterback that can push it vertically, just like what happened with Kaepernick, where he lost his job due to injury and then performance. And yeah, that's a fantastic point. I don't think we see Mahomes this year in any kind of expanded role, but yeah, two quarterbacks on the field at the same time is freaking. Alex Smith can get vertical, man. I'm telling you, look out for that. All right, so one of my last questions for you, Ryan, is. Are you enjoying Benny Logan? And do not slander Benny Logan on our show.
You be very careful right now. Choose your next words carefully.
Listen, all you Eagles fans. We love this guy. Y'all messed up. That's where we're at. Because what we're used to is a Dontari Poe coming out, collecting double teams on, you know, 60 snaps a game, playing 85% of the defensive snaps and wearing himself silly in the first four games to the point that he isn't able to make an impact later in the season. And that's what we've seen for several years. Benny Logan replacing him changes the dynamic. Not only did Benny take on a lot of double teams, he didn't have to play as much, about 59% of the snaps. He's got a rotation, and the Chiefs really are taking a different look at it here in this last – two seasons, both as John Dorsey finished up and now with Brett Veach, in that they're not trying to just keep their three. They can drop down into three techniques when they want to go to a four-man front. You know, they've got six solid guys that can come in there and rotate, not play more than 60% of the snaps, keep each other fresh. And Benny's doing a great job on first down. I'm very happy with just, you know, obviously not the best running team when you talk about New England, but significant still. But he's going to be there all season long, and he's going to be the guy who holds down that middle. Roy Miller will spell him, but that leadership and that ability to be fresh. You know, Chiefs fans are really,
nice.
Really enjoying.
I'll give you the last question. Hopefully it's about Kareem Hunt, because we really haven't talked about him yet. Or we could not talk about him because I wanted to draft him. So, Ben, go ahead. Spurn our boy Ryan here.
No, Michael and I, it's a connection that only, you know, co-hosting on a Locked On podcast can form. Because I'm going straight for the other famous ex-Eagle in Kareem Hunt. Because, Ryan, you got to understand, man. Eagles Twitter yearned for this man. They are pining the loss of Kareem Hunt. And it's shocking because, you know, when he wasn't drafted and we took Sidney Jones in the second round, everybody was thrilled. And when we got Rasul Douglas in the third round after Kareem Hunt was drafted, we said, oh, okay, you know, like Rasul, he's got, you know, developmental potential. And then Pumphrey, our fourth round selection at running back, doesn't have a good preseason. Kareem Hunt goes and breaks record in his first game. And all of a sudden, everybody loved Kareem Hunt a great deal and just, you know, has been reserving their sonnets and their, you know, love poems for him. But I just want to ask, you know, flat out, you know, where goes down? Jamaal Charles moves away. You know, Kareem Hunt's in the building. This rookie slotted to get touches after the Kansas City Chiefs have had such a consistent running attack for so many years. what was kind of the thought about Kareem Hunt coming in? What enabled him to pick up 247 odd yards from scrimmage? And what should Eagle fans be worried about seeing him in week two?
Well, first and foremost, let me tell you, if I'm the guy in charge, I'll trade you a shutdown corner for a third round running back any day of the week.
What do you take? Will you take a practice squad quarterback?
I can wait. Sidney Jones is my number two guy in the draft coming out, and so I was a little anxious on him. But no, what it's done is the injury to Ware, who has found himself inheriting the role from Jamaal Charles. Obviously, a lot of injuries with Charles, although he seems to have found a little bit of stamina left in his legs in Denver. Spencer Ware is a good between-the-tackles guy. He came along in his pass protections. He came along in catching out of the backfield, but it's not natural for him. And he is a guy who is best head down, straight downhill kind of runner, much like he was at LSU. What has allowed Kareem Hunt to take over, not only in just spelling him because of the injury, but really to Spencer Ware's not going to come back to his starting job. I'm going to tell you that right now. And really, it's because Hunt's been able to absorb the entirety of the playbook that he needs to in order to be functional within the offense. He doesn't have all of it down, but he's probably got a good 80%. He can protect when he needs to protect. He can catch out of the backfield, which is something he didn't do a whole lot of.
Except for his film that I watched. He had 44 catches, but, and it was like a huge spike for him. But go ahead.
Right, yeah. But before that, it was pretty unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. He was really just a tailback. But, man, that over-the-shoulder catch the other night was really impressive. And that goes to show you what was really telling for us that cover the team was when Ware got hurt, you didn't see an immediate pickup. And normally, for a rookie being the backup, that's something that you would see. They would want to bolster that. And I think his best attribute, and Pro Football Focus has been all over this. It's something that I watch for, especially when they go to the Senior Bowl and that kind of thing in the draft process, is how many tackles can he make guys miss? And how does he deal with contact? And those are the two strengths to Kareem Hunt's game, in my opinion. I don't think he has the speed. I don't think he definitely has the shiftiness, but he can take a hit and he can keep moving the chains forward. And I think that's what
I absolutely
see.
Loved this game coming out. Well, I wouldn't say absolutely loved. I had him in the bottom end of the second half as far as second round as far as value. And I did five games for Spencer Ware for the Scouting Academy this summer, and I really liked his game too. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you guys want to deal Spencer Ware to us, I know Howie will probably make that trade. He'll be showing up at your doorstep if this run game doesn't get going with a vacuum cleaner that's whisper quiet.
Hey, Howie, I'll take IR cornerback.
Don't you touch him, Ryan.
He was, even after the injuries, Sidney Jones was, I believe, either seventh or ninth on my board. So we shared similar love for him. I love his four-year outlook. So definitely not Sidney Jones, man. We can find another running back somewhere, but you can't have another Sidney Jones. So look, Ryan, thank you so much for stopping by and talking about this matchup with us. We look forward to seeing how it plays out. We look forward to also getting Spencer Ware in a trade and not giving you anything of any kind of significant value. And thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you, fellas.
Hey, make sure you're following Ryan on Twitter. That was Ryan Tracy NFL without an E. And make sure you're checking out Locked On Chiefs as well. We did a spot over there talking about, you know, stuff to expect from the Chiefs and everything like that. So know thine enemy as thyself. Go check out Locked On Chiefs.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back after this. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week, whether it's Steelers against Patriots or Bears against the Lions. Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payout. Seriously, it's just two business days. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOEagles, that's LOEagles, to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, and we're back. Ben. Look, that was a great interview. Ryan is a fantastic follow. Make sure you guys go over to listen to Locked On Chiefs. We're going to be on there talking the Eagles side of Eagles versus Chiefs as well. So give them a follow. Ben, do you have anything else for today?
No, absolutely. Shameless plug. You know, in tandem with this this crossover we did with Locked On Chiefs, I've got my post on Bleeding Green Nation breaking down the Chiefs as kind of understanding what to expect from them from a concrete visual film perspective. And so check out Bleeding Green Nation. That post is going to be up there this morning on Wednesday. However, Mike, we have a treat for our listeners that we need to talk about, man. The people need to know what we're handing out as far as our new partnership goes.
That is correct. Look, okay, we're going to be talking about this daily because it is a fantastic deal. All right.
It's now, dope.
You guys are familiar with Pro Football Focus, and if you're familiar with us, then you probably are. What we are doing here on Locked On Eagles is every week we are giving away one PFF Edge subscription per show, which is a $40 value. This includes NFL player grades, snap counts, position ranks, fantasy projections, ranking tools, charts, NFL draft coverage with PFF profiles and stats, PFF fantasy, DFS, and NFL draft articles, team and player pages featuring PFF stats.
Look, so literally everything. There's not something that is not included.
Yeah. And look, Jeff Ratcliffe he's the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus. He's going to join Locked On Fantasy every Thursday for 10 minutes. So give that a listen too. Enter twice if you do that, and probably more if you listen to some of the other Locked On shows. So Mike Renner is also going to be joining Locked On NBA every Wednesday. This is what you do. Go to our Locked On Eagles iTunes page, leave a review for our show, include your Twitter handle, and each week we are going to choose a random winner from those that left reviews, and you're going to get a free PFF Edge subscription that is worth $40. Ben, you use PFF Edge, right?
Absolutely, and we have access to a ton of this PFF stuff, almost all the stuff that you guys are going to be getting, and a little bit more because we're the host of these Locked On podcasts, and I can't speak to how invaluable all the charting information is. Just being able to have that data at your fingertips is incredibly helpful, and it just broadens your expanse of the game. You know, there's debate around Pro Football Focus, and you know, maybe some of it is warranted and some of it isn't, but at the end of the day, no knowledge is useless, and it's incredibly helpful to have all these horizons. We're so fortunate to have this deal with Pro Football Focus where we get to extend this to you guys. I'm not going to tell you that good reviews on iTunes have a better chance of winning. I'm not allowed to tell you that. I'm just saying you'll see a correlation over the first few weeks. So if you want to increase your chances, totally breaking all the rules here, feel free to leave some nice, happy, positive adjectives, especially about Ben, in the reviews.
Some people say that leaving a 5-star review, blank, blank, blank. Not going to say it. Going to throw it out there, though. Just get that idea in your head. So go to, anyway, even if you're not entering to win that PFF Edge, go to our iTunes page, leave a 5-star review, trash on Ben. Everything is welcome. Everything is permitted. To do that and to continue increasing your chances to win a PFF Edge subscription every week, you're going to have to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.